back to Gaza, where fighting between Israeli soldiers and Hamas and other militant factions is continuing, the strip being pounded from the air, land and sea by the Israeli army. In return, rockets are being fired on a regular basis into Israel, most intercepted by the Iron Dome defence system, which shoots down rockets before they land. The death tolls on each side tells the real story. More than 1,300 Palestinians dead, mostly civilians. On the Israeli side, 56 soldiers dead, 3 civilians killed. Let's discuss the military tactics and strategies being used by both sides now with Tom Clonan, who's security consultant with the Irish Times. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Would it be fair to say that Israel will not have expected to lose 56 soldiers?
Yes, if we cast our minds back to 2008, 2009, when the Israelis went into Gaza in a similar fashion in Operation Cast Lead, they killed 1,417, that's a conservative estimate, men, women and children in that ill-starred operation. And the purpose of Cast Lead back in 08, 09 was to stop missiles being fired into Israel and to destroy cross-border tunnels. And it failed in both of those objectives. The only outcome really in that operation was the destruction of lots of infrastructure in Gaza and the killing, as I said, of hundreds, over 1,000 innocent civilians, including over 300 children. So when you look at the raison d'etre for the current military campaign, which is almost a facsimile of that, it begs the question, what are Israel's war aims in this ground offensive in Gaza? Because the previous campaign, which was exactly the same, the Israelis have used there is no innovation in this campaign. It is precisely the same as the 2008-2009 campaign. But what's interesting here, as you pointed out, in 2008-2009, the Israelis lost 10 soldiers killed in action. And 3 of those, I believe, were killed in a road traffic accident. On this occasion, Hamas have killed 56 Israeli soldiers, and that is an own goal for the Israelis. I don't mean to sound cynical or to sound dismissive, but Hezbollah and other Islamic resistance groups, particularly radicalized elements on the Syrian border, will be watching that very closely, because it demythologizes the myth of Israeli military superiority.
The Israelis say their aim is to go in, take out these launch sites for rockets, and take out this tunnel network. Are they doing much more than that?
Well, they're committing war crimes. That's what they're doing. They're failing in their their objectives. But quite explicitly, under Protocol 1, Article 51, Sections 4 and 5A of the Geneva Convention, it says quite explicitly that you must not use weapon systems or, and I quote, a method of attack which cannot be directed at or limited to a specific military objective. And here's the critical point. Or where there is a concentration of civilians or civilian objects. The Geneva Conventions explicitly prohibit any attack which can cause, and again I quote, incidental loss of life or damage to civilians or civilian objects. And in that case, the attack must be called off. And it's quite clear that the Israelis military are using the full spectrum of their weapon systems. They're using the Air Force, naval assets off the coast and ground troops in a heavily populated environment. Can I just emphasize, 48% of the population of Gaza are children. And if you use the weapon systems that the Israelis are using there, civilian deaths are an inevitable consequence.
You're an expert in this field. You know that the Israeli army can take out an apartment in an apartment block if they need. We've all seen the evidence of it. And Paul Mason referred to it earlier. Take the top floor off a building and leave the rest of the building intact. So can... I mean, what you're saying clearly, in your view, they're committing war crimes, and you're saying they're using the full range of weaponry. Is it the reality that the Israeli army is setting out to do a lot more than what it's stated publicly?
Well, if the objective is to, as they say, to destroy tunnels and prevent the firing of missiles, their operation in 2008-2009 failed to do that. They're not doing anything different now. They're committing war crimes. They're terrorising the population. I can only come to the conclusion that this is a collective punishment on the people of Gaza to terrorise them. And just to be very, very clear on this, Article 17 and 15 of the Geneva Convention says that if you take it upon yourself to invade a civilian area, like a city, you must provide what's known as a neutralised zone. In other words, you must provide an evacuation corridor into a neutralised zone, and I quote, for the removal from the besieged or encircled areas of wounded, sick, infirm, elderly, children and pregnant women.
And we know that can't happen in Gaza because the people have nowhere to go, and in the cases where they go where they're told to go, beaches and UN shelters, we've seen what's happened in the past. They've been attacked there. But the point people would make is that Hamas is also committing war crimes, is it not?
Absolutely, and this is something that is... Hamas, by firing Qassam, Grad and Farj missiles into Israel, they're committing... This is a premeditated, systematic committal of war crimes. Not only are they firing missiles at civilian targets within Israel, but they're also jerry-rigging weapons. For example, putting 120mm pipes and fins made of rusty material on Qassam rockets. And this is something that has been pointed out by international agencies before. So I think in this case, both sides in this conflict, both Hamas and the Israeli military, are committing war crimes. And my sympathies go for the ordinary people on both sides.
Tom, is it not time that somebody went in to look at this? We've heard there's a review underway at what happened on the beach. We were told last night that the IDF are going to review what happened in the shelter in Jabalia. Is it not time that somebody external went in and examined exactly what's happening?
Well, first of all, this offensive must stop immediately because it is a war crime. I mean, the shooting of children in cold blood, and we have the case of Iman Al-Hans, who was shot by an Israeli army officer. This is a 13-year-old girl who approached an Israeli position carrying a school bag. The radio traffic says she's a 10-year-old girl, over, she's scared to death, over. This officer walked up to this 13-year-old girl and shot her twice in the head and then shot her a further 8 to 10 times.
And the correspondence that was revealed at the time, or the conversation between the soldiers at that checkpoint, revealed quite a lot about the tactics deployed by the IDF.
Well, it's my own experience. You know, when I go back to my own service in Lebanon with the butchering of innocent Lebanese civilians in our neighbouring UN position in Qana, the Israelis do deliberately target UN positions and places of safety. Your earlier contributor from Channel 4 spoke about the eyewitness accounts of an attack on a school.
They insist they don't and say this could be a mistake, yeah. Slightly got it wrong.
Again, a recruit in any training programme in the army would recognise that the Israelis are using indirect fire weapon systems like artillery, 155 artillery, 120mm mortars, to respond to attacks from the vicinity of schools, which is inevitable given the built-up nature of the area. But they have a duty to manoeuvre into those situations and, if necessary, to use direct fire weapons and protect civilians, minimise losses. Could I also say, in relation to Hamas, Hamas are also in breach of the Geneva Conventions, Article 51.7, in that they are using the civilian population as human shields. So this is giving the Israelis, I suppose, some cover, but the disproportionate and indiscriminate use of force by the Israelis is a war crime. It's not my opinion. It's not a subjective view on my part. It is a fact, and it brings Israel into disrepute. And Israel is a great country. They're wonderful people, but they're sowing the seeds of their own destruction by the events in Gaza, and it is radicalising young Muslims all over the world, and it gives oxygen to these crazy groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
I just want to ask you quickly,
they have to stop.
Quickly, in conclusion, Tom, about the news that emerged last night that the United States has confirmed that it has restocked Israelis' ammunition. It has effectively given Israel supplies of ammunition to strengthen what they're doing. It appears the Israelis have run out.
Well, it's a shameful decision to resupply or to give ammunition in a campaign like this, which is so clearly in breach of international law and the laws of armed conflict. And again, it's something that brings the international community into disrepute. And I know that the head of UNRWA in the Palestinian Authority said that the international community should hang its head in shame. And, you know, really, forget about reviews or investigations. These hostilities must stop. Like, even the Americans, when they invaded Fallujah in 2004, the Americans only had 26,000 troops, and they came under a lot of criticism for their invasion of Fallujah. But they evacuated 200,000 civilians from Fallujah before they attacked. The Israelis have concentrated these people in this ghetto. Gaza is effectively a concentration camp.
All right, Tom Clonan, security consultant. Thanks for coming in to us this morning.